Hi, my name's Carol and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 1st, 2011. And I'm just going to share a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. When I was a kid, my dad owned a business in Bakersfield, and my mom was very into her own things, so I think that I grew up in a way that was kind of just by myself, and learned to hang out by myself, and I was an only child until I was 8 and a half, and then my brother was born, and my family was not very emotionally, like, with it, I guess. My parents weren't emotionally available. We didn't talk about feelings, or we didn't talk about conflict resolution, or all of these things were just not known to me. I just kind of played by myself, and we didn't talk about feelings. When I was 12, my parents divorced, and we moved up to Northern California, where my mom's family lived, up in Redding, California. And it was junior high school, and I started making more friends up there. I think I just made more friends up in NorCal than I ever did in Bakersfield. So about a year after we moved up there, I had my first drink, and I started having, started lying to my mom about where I was at, started sneaking out of the house, and just wanted to escape. My mom wanted me to babysit my brother all the time so she could go out on dates, and I was kind of like, you know, I did it a lot, and I became an angry teenager, where I was like, you know, it's your kid, you know, I'm not the babysitter. And so I just started sneaking out and partying, and I started hanging out with kids that were smoking weed and having sex, and I started doing all of that when I was 13. And everything was cool. All through high school, it was good, and I was going to parties and had lots of friends, and that turned into, you know, later in high school, going to keggers and doing beer bongs and keg stands, and if I could do a keg stand longer than the biggest, baddest guy in the place, then I was, like, super accomplished, you know? Like, I wanted to be the person that could drink the most and the one that went the longest. And at 5 in the morning when people were like, well, we're passing out, we're going to bed, I was like, well, you're a party pooper, you know? Why are you going to bed? And I remember that, you know, always being the last one at the party, just wanting the party to go longer. I didn't want to stop partying. I didn't want to run out of beer. I didn't want to, you know, and I remember that at a young age, like just as a teenager, just being like, no, the party can't be over. We have to keep going. And which was a bummer when you turn 21, because then the bars close at 2, you know, and then it's like this mad rush to the liquor store at 1:45, you know, so that the party can keep going. And I think I blacked out a lot starting from the beginning, where there would just be large chunks of time that I just couldn't even remember, and lots of behavior that I didn't remember, you know. And I think, you know, even in my 20s, I was asking my friends, what happened last night? What did we do? Where did we go? Where's my car? Where, you know, my credit card's not in my purse. I must have left an open tab at one of the bars that we were at. And, you know, just engaging in behavior that was with men that were, that stuff that I would not do as a sober person. And I think that, you know, at 21 years old, I got married to someone because I was pregnant, and I had known him for a month and a half. And I had a miscarriage right after the wedding, and then I just went right back to drinking in the bars. And I went to a little trade school down there for graphic design. And anyway, so throughout my 20s, up until I got sober, I would work as a graphic designer in the daytime and then party on the weekends. And then it just, towards the end of my 20s, it was started slipping in on Thursday and sometimes on Monday and sometimes on Tuesday. And there would be missed work and showing up to work still drunk and things like that. And I think overall, though, I just became disillusioned with life in general. I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't see a purpose. I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have a purpose or a reason to be here anymore. I don't know why I should work and pay bills for what reason. I'm just working to pay bills, and nothing made sense to me anymore. I became super suicidal. I went to lockdown for suicidal ideation 2 different times, and then I finally got my second DUI and a 5150. And because I told the police that I was going to kill myself. And that was when a doctor in that facility told me that he thought I was an alcoholic. And at that time, I had a court card for 30 meetings. And I knew a friend that had 5 years sober at the time. And he said, why don't you come into these meetings? And when I started hearing people's stories, like the way I'm standing up here today and telling my story, I started thinking that maybe it could help me too. And I thought, maybe I'm going to dig my heels in and do everything they tell me to do, and we'll see if this thing works. Because I didn't have any other ideas. I had been struggling with my mental health for a long time, and the medications and the therapy and all that stuff wasn't making me happy. It didn't help me. I was still feeling like I didn't want to be on this planet anymore, you know. But when I got into the steps, you know, I got a sponsor right away, and I started to feel the change immediately. I started to do service work. I just worked and worked and worked. I got sober at a Lano club up in Redding, California, and I worked and just did all the service work that I could possibly do. Because it's all, you know, I couldn't work at the time. At my job, and so I just did service work and tried to meet all the people. And if I get in the middle of the herd and everybody knows my name, then I'll get to stay, you know. So I served coffee at that Lano club for like 2 years, and I knew everybody. And it felt kind of like the good things that I knew back when I used to party, you know, like I showed up and, like, I knew everybody, and it felt, like, good to be around like-minded people. And, you know, if I'm going to be sober here in AA, you know, I want to be surrounded by people that are trying to do the same things that I'm doing, you know. So, you know, and they say everything, the only thing that has to change is everything, right, when you come in. And, man, I was ready. I was ready when I came in. I didn't get rid of them. I mean, my friends that were like my real friends are still my real friends. But boy, there was a time there that I just knew I couldn't hang out with my old friends, and that was okay. I made new friends in the program, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of took a long time to get to the point, but I did a lot of service work, and I really threw myself into this program, and today I have feelings of like gratitude and joy that I never knew before. At the time when I hit my bottom, I thought I was never going to work again. And today I work for the Air Force as a graphic designer, and I have a security clearance, and I was able to buy a car, and I get, you know, I would just. I'm a responsible adult. I don't mess up and like not show up to work and do these things, and I can go around the world with my head held high that I'm a functioning and member of society that contributes to society, and that I do have a reason to be here. And a lot of that reason is the people in this room, you know. So thank you so much. Have a good time.